The book is called Glory Days in Tribe Town, Cleveland Indians from and Jacobs Field from 1994 to 1997. Terry Pluto and Tom Hamilton are the authors of this very new book from Gray & Company Publishing. Tom, what made you decide to get into the publishing business here, author?
Well, Terry called me and asked me if I had any interest, and once I found out what the book was going to be about, and that was basically, you know, a celebration of that time, and not a book where so many times now people are writing tell-all books, then I thought it was, you know, a very worthwhile project, because that period of time was very special, I think, to all of us.
The book includes the fans, too. I mean, they get their input into these years. It's their memories, really, that what make this so special.
Yeah, it is. And I think all of us look back at it now and find it hard to believe it's even been 20 years.
20 years has really been that long. I guess we still think like it was only yesterday for those of us who were waiting for the Indians to win a pennant, reach the World Series. We kind of relive that, I guess, in our mind as often as possible.
Yeah, you know, it was a special time. I don't think it's a time we'll ever see repeated in Cleveland in any sport, really, for that matter, because you had the opening of a ballpark that was truly unique at that time and still has stood the test of time. But you got to remember back in 94 when that ballpark opened, really the only other ballpark that was comparable to it was Camden Yards in Baltimore. So that in itself made it very special for the city of Cleveland after the years they had to put up with going to games at Municipal Stadium. And then, you know, the fact that you had arguably the most entertaining team, if not the history of baseball, certainly among those, and then the Browns leaving town, the Indians having not won in 40-plus years, it really was, like I say, time and again, the perfect storm, and probably one that we'll never see replicated.
Tom, as a broadcaster, you had a chance to cover, still do, a lot of different players through the years. I'm sure you have your favorites and maybe not so favorites, but do you have an opportunity, too, to really establish a relationship with any of these guys, and do you want to?
Oh, yeah. You know, I think you as a broadcaster also have to be careful about that because at the end of the day, I'm not a player. And, you know, I think sometimes people get in this business and they think they are a player. No, you're not. And, you know, you still need to be able to maintain your objectivity during the course of the broadcast. But, yeah, you couldn't help but become friends with some of these people, be it a Charlie Nagy or Sandy Alomar or Jim Thome and Carlos Baerga and Kenny Lofton. And those are guys that I still have a very good relationship with. And, you know, it was a special time in everybody's life.
We're talking with Tom Hamilton today. The book is called Glory Days in Tribe Town. He's written along with Terry Pluto, and there's input from fans who've put their recollections of that time. It really was a short period of time when you look over the length, obviously, of a baseball franchise as well. Right now, the ballpark is even undergoing renovations. So what was the jewel back in 93 when it all started has had some renovations. Something new this year, though, they put the Jim Thome statue on there. What are your thoughts about having that statue there along with Bob Feller?
Well, I think it's terrific. I mean, Jim is the all-time home run leader in the history of the Indians. I don't even know the exact number of years Jimmy played with us. It's obviously beyond 10, I don't know if it's 10, 11, 12 years. So, I mean, that's an incredible period of time in this day and age of pro sports to have somebody stay with an organization. And, you know, he's one of the best people that I've ever met in my life, both on the field and off the field. And to me, he represents all that was good about that period. And he'll be going into baseball's Hall of Fame as a Cleveland Indian and one of a very select few that have ever hit 600 home runs in their life. And the one thing we know about Jim Thome is 600 plus home runs. He did it legitimately. You know, he didn't have any help from a pharmacist. And so I think it's very deserving of Jimmy. And I think you'll see some additional statues now coming, guys, you know, with the renovation, and you know, it's not up to me to let the cat out of the bag, but I think that is neat when you start putting statues up for generations to come and see it. I think it's cool when you go to Detroit and, you know, see some of the statues they have there, be it of Ty Cobb or Al Kaline, and, you know, the way his career is going. I think Miggy Cabrera will have one in Detroit someday, too. And that's the beauty of baseball, is that, you know, we relish the past and the traditions of the game, and I think that's what makes it unlike any other sport.
During this time, Albert Bell was a different sort of character. What do you remember most about Albert?
Yeah, I had a great relationship with Albert. And, again, I'm in a different position being a broadcaster for the ball club. You know, I didn't need to go down there and ask Albert some of the questions that the media would ask. But he was terrific. I had him on a number of times on pregame shows, and he was a good interview. And, you know, we even golfed a couple of times together. But, you know, he could be Jekyll and Hyde. I think we all know that. But the one thing about Albert Bell, you know, he was the most feared hitter of that era. And one thing you never wanted to do was leave your seat or miss one of his at-bats, because you never knew what you might miss. He was one of those guys that, to me, certainly brought people to the ballpark. There aren't many of those guys where people say, hey, I'm going to buy a ticket because I want to see what he does in his four at-bats.
And or many of those that were playing for the Indians. Many times we'd wait to see a team that would come and bring their players through, and maybe that would spur some ticket sales as well.
Yep.
Again, we're talking with Tom Hamilton, the book Glory Days in Tribetown. They've got a book signing coming up at the Barnes & Noble, Crocker Park, on Tuesday, November 25th. They'll be there from 7 to 8 o'clock, signing, talking to the fans, sharing stories. Now, Tom, you get to share a little bit of your own story in this book. Related to your career getting into broadcasting. And it was funny, there's one part in there where you talk about baseball broadcasters. Not only are there a limited number of them, but the guys that get in hang on to their job for a long time. Looking back now, I guess, in a way, you've become one of those gentlemen, haven't you?
Yeah, I hate to admit it, it's been 25 years, because that means one thing is I'm getting old. But, you know, I've been very blessed and very fortunate to have this job for as long as I've had it. And, you know, we love the area. The city of Cleveland and the surrounding area has been very good to myself and my family. And, you know, I couldn't work for a better group of people than the Indians, first under Dick and Dave Jacobs and now under Larry and Paul Dolan. You know, in this day and age, boy, when you work for tremendous people, that's a real bonus based on what we're seeing in the workforce nowadays. So, like I said, I've been very blessed and very fortunate.
You also had a chance to work with Herb Score. What was that experience like?
You know, when I got the job, first off, you're thrilled to get a major league job, because it almost feels like the impossible dream became a reality. And then to work with an iconic figure like Herb, I didn't realize to the extent of the stature Herb and Nancy, his wife, have in the city of Cleveland. And yet he treated me as an equal from day one, even though I never was his equal. And so I'm very grateful for that. And I feel very lucky I was Herb's last partner. I certainly didn't know that's the way it would work out, but I got to spend 8 great years with Herb, and he was a tremendous mentor and taught me some of the most valuable lessons I've ever been taught when it comes to broadcasting. And you know, I felt very lucky to be able to say he was my friend. And, you know, we miss him and Mike Keegan. You know, I've been really, again, blessed to have this job, but to work with people like that, boy, that's a huge bonus.
Well, it's been a pleasure for the listeners to hear the games that you call along with Herb and Noel with Mike at that time. The new Indians continuing on. We just recently got an award for a Cy Young winner. How about that for Corey Kluber this year?
Yeah, isn't that amazing, guys? Stop and think of it. The Indians did not have a Cy Young winner since Gaylord Perry in 1972. And then they get back-to-back Cy Young winners in C.C. Sabathia in 07, Cliff Lee in 08, And now Corey Kluber in 2014 to have three Cy Young winners in an eight-season span, to me, is remarkable. And, you know, the great news about Corey Kluber is that he's still young, that, you know, he's reaching the prime years of his career. And, you know, he's going to be here for those prime years. I believe the Indians have Corey under control for at least four more years. And I was really happy for Corey because he's a great guy. Very quiet until you get to know him a little more. Tremendous in our clubhouse. He's one of those guys. He, in a lot of ways, he's like a Charlie Nagy. He's one of those great teammates who they're not interested in the spotlight being on them. And, boy, in this day and age, those guys are a true rarity. And he really earned and deserved the Cy Young. And, boy, again, guys, you've got an ace now to hedge your rotation here for a number of years.
And that's one of those things where when you go into spring training, you look to see how things are going to line up. And if you got somebody to start it, you kind of can build the pieces from there. You mentioned Charles Nagy, and I'm glad you did because sometimes he seems to be underrated or underappreciated. Talk about really his importance during that glory days era with the Tribe.
Well, really, Charlie and Sandy were the first building blocks, you know, the trade that brought Sandy from San Diego. But Charlie was the first-round pick that was developed by the Indians farm system, and he was really one of the first to come out of that very fertile Indians farm system during that time period. And Charlie was one of those guys, he could have become a free agent. He could have gone elsewhere and made more money, but he wanted to stay in Cleveland. And I agree with you when you say he's underappreciated. Charlie had a heck of a career. And the one thing about Charlie was he was an all-star. He pitched in critical games. But he was always there. You know, he always showed up and gave you 200-plus innings and went about it in such a professional manner. And, you know, one of the great games I've ever witnessed in my life was Game 6 of the American League Championship Series in Baltimore in 1997 when the Indians win that game 1-0 in extra innings. And Charlie Nagy was matched up against Mike Mussina, who in that series was unhittable. The Indians could do nothing against Mike Mussina. And Charlie Nagy was in trouble almost from the time he got off the team bus and worked out of a jam every inning. If he gives up one run, we lose. And it goes to a Game 7, and you never want to play a Game 7 at somebody else's ballpark. So I agree with you. Charlie was really one of the unsung heroes of that era and just had a tremendous career.
One more thing, Tom. You're on the road half the season. Is there a particular ballpark where you really enjoy the experience?
You know, that's a question I get asked a lot, and it's a good question. You know, the thing of it is now, guys, everybody has a new ballpark. You know, the only bad ballpark that we go to anymore is the Oakland Coliseum. You know, people might say, well, Fenway is old, but yeah, but it's Fenway. It's historic. So I never, ever get tired of going to the city of Boston or to Fenway Park. I love the city of Seattle and that ballpark. But truly now, we're so spoiled that everywhere you go, there are beautiful ballparks. But yeah, if I had to pick two cities that are at the top of my list, it would be Boston, one because of the city and the historical presence at Fenway Park, and then I just think Seattle's one of the great cities in this country.
The book is called Glory Days in Tribe Town, the Cleveland Indians, Jacobs Field, 1994 to 1997. Somebody who's young may look and go, Jacobs Field, where is that?
See, we're getting old, guys.
Oh, we are, yeah.
It's like League Park.
Oh, wow. But on the cover, it's great because it has kind of the Norman Rockwell-esque drawings of the folks, and it's really about the fans. And I guess that's what really makes it a glory day. There's so much with the team, but it really was that attendance, the way the people showed up to the ballpark April, May, June. You know, it was really important to
really, I agree with you. Guys, it was, in those days, you know, for one thing, we had, what, over five years with consecutive sellouts. It was a celebration 81 times a year. It was like going to an Ohio State football game 81 times a year. the party and festive atmosphere. Everybody decked out in Indians paraphernalia. My wife, in those days, we had young children, and you know, she'd be in the neighborhood in the stroller. She never had to take a radio with her. She could listen to the game going block to block because, you know, people were outside listening to games at night. And I think the other thing, guys, that the ballpark and those teams did, it changed the national perception and the national image of Cleveland. We were no longer a punchline on the late-night talk shows. And I think the ballpark had a great deal to do with that, as well as that ball club that all of a sudden people were proud to say they were from Cleveland.
You have comments from readers and people who went there, and one of the fans wrote in something related to, he said, he was born in 1948. He said, for the next 40 years, my dream was to someday sit on the front porch on a late summer evening, water my lawn, and listen to the Tribe in a pennant race. I mean, that really says it all for how we all felt during that time, I think.
Yeah, and I agree, guys. It's just, it's a period in our lives, and we're lucky we all got to experience it. I think that's the thing, you know. How many franchises, how many cities would love to have had that kind of a period that they still look back on, you know what, yeah, I know we didn't win it, and it's disappointing we didn't win a World Series. But really, at the end of the day, does that change the great feeling and the great memories that we have from that period? I don't think so.
Yeah, it was kind of fun watching Kansas City this year, too. They had sort of the same sense of what was going on with their team.
That's a great point. It united a city again. And baseball is the only sport that can do it because you're playing every day.
You get a chance to come back and take another one in case you didn't do it
That's the day before.
Our guest today, Tom Hamilton, the Glory Days in Tribe Town. Again, Tom will be out with the book signing coming up on Tuesday, November 25th at the Barnes & Noble at Crocker Park from 7 to 8. Stop by and pick up the book, Glory Days in Tribe Town. Tom, thanks for sharing. We'll be listening to you come up not too far. I heard the Tribe Fest was announced, so I know that that's getting underway, and then Indians baseball not too far ahead.
Well, guys, thanks so much for having me, and have a great Thanksgiving. And, you know, WEOL has been a tremendous affiliate down through the years on our Indians radio network, and you guys do a great job, and we're so glad you're a part of the network as well.
Right, great. And don't be too hard on Rosie this season, okay? Be easy on him, all right?
Can't promise that, guys. Sorry.
All right. Take it easy, Tom. Bye.
Bye, guys. Thanks.